You have your share of changing time signatures in your music. And it probably comes from being a drummer, but also as a young person, you discovered that you loved the music of Yes. Although your overall presentation is pop, and that's what we love here, would you say that your music ventures into prog territory? And if not, how would you describe it?
That's a good question. As far as just like the pop thing, and whatever I do, that seems to come out. I don't think that's something I'm necessarily being intentional about. I did grow up listening to some prog bands. Yes, early Yes in particular was hugely influential to me as a young musician. My favorite band is The Police. And when I listen to the early albums of The Police, it's like I'm listening to them for the first time again. You know, I love that music. Mm-hmm. Have liked what members of that group have done since then, but really prefer that stuff. And then love, you know, The Kinks and The Replacements and so many sort of great, what people would call, you know, power pop bands or whatever. I never really knew that term until it was sort of put on me, and it was put on me very early as a songwriter. And I had to kind of look it up because I didn't really know what that meant. I always just thought, well, I'm making rock music. But to answer the question, I don't think that what I do you could necessarily call prog. I just think people who are into that, they're super into it, and they know all these new prog bands that I've never even heard of and are incredible, the little bits and pieces that I hear. And I would just say that, you know, being sort of a Yes fan and still liking that music, and I also went through a fan of just loving Rush and being a huge Neil Peart fan like most drummers, and still love some of their stuff. But I think it's just something that comes out naturally when I write. It's not intentional. You know, I never think to myself, oh, I need a time signature change here. Oh, I need some 7/8
right,
here.
Of course. It's always organic.
Yeah, it's just something that it's in my head, and, you know, I try it, and if it works. And then another thing is just sort of taking a cue from I'm a huge Beatles fan as well. And I remember kind of, you know, as I was writing songs and learning about writing songs, I loved this peculiar thing that Paul and John would occasionally do, where they would just cut beats of a measure to get to the chorus quicker, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'll do that occasionally too, and just sort of break some of those rules. I'm a huge Peter Gabriel fan and loved all of his early stuff. I love Genesis. So there's a lot of stuff kind of swimming around in my head that is just probably causing some of that prog-ness to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have toyed with the idea of doing like a longer piece of music, and I've just never been able to make it work. I had this idea a long time ago with Edmund's Crown, and I was like, okay, for our next album, guys, we're going to do one 10-minute song and 15 1-minute songs. But that was my idea, and we never could quite get it to work. But anytime I've tried to do these longer pieces of music, I kind of either feel like it gets boring, or there's a real art to that. There's a real art to being able to, you know, make one side of an entire piece of vinyl one song. And I've never been able to master it. I can't. Maybe it'll come at some point.
Well, I want to focus my questions a little bit more, because I wasn't really asking you, do you think you're prog? That's not an interesting question to me. But what I think is, these are the elements that make your music smarter without making it inaccessible. But do you think there's potentially a tipping point where a song could get bogged down and make it less accessible?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I don't care about it. I don't care one iota. I have, you know, having sort of come to Nashville and kind of gone through a little bit of an industry thing with record deals and publishers, and I think every writer who's kind of been through that, and you have that pressure on you of, you know, having to try to write something that is accessible, try to write something that will work on radio. And I kind of went through years of that. And when I kind of came through all that and got out of it and was sort of back to just writing whatever I wanted, I think that the thing that matters to me is, do I mean this? Do I, Greg Pope, the guy, you know, mean this? And if I can say yes to that, like, it's going out there. And like I said, you know, most of what I write, I don't release. A lot of what I write is so terrible, just like everybody. So just finding the few little, I think creativity, there's a guy, Robert McKee, he's actually a script doctor who writes about writing screenplays, but he said this, and I think it's true, is that creativity is 10 to 1. You invent far more than you use. So that has definitely been true for me as a writer. And that's sort of my litmus test, though, is do I mean it? Like, I have to be able to meet one of my heroes on the street, and they have to say, well, I heard this song of yours and I thought it was terrible. And I have to be able to say, well, you know what? You know, I stand by that song. I love that song. And I'm sorry that you didn't like it. I wrote it for somebody else, obviously. But I don't think about, is this too far into, you know, progressive territory or some other territory? I simply think about, you know, is this right for this moment? Do I mean it? Like, 5 years from now, somebody asks me about this, am I going to be able to say, yeah, man, that's me. That was me at that time. And I meant to release it. And, you know, you can't feel that way about everything you write over the years. You might go back and think, well, that was stupid, but other people might not think that. So I hope I'm answering your question.
No, you are. This is the philosophical stuff that I love to think about online mm-hmm. right now. There's a big argument about whether Marvel movies are cinema. And I don't care about the title of that article. Mm-hmm. I care about the essence underneath it. I care about the arguments they make. That's yeah. interesting to me. So this is what we're talking about, is the arguments, not the answer. We don't have to have the answer.
Right.
Right. But we, as musicians and as singers and as songwriters, we want to be found by people. We want someone to like to know sure. about us. In order to be sure. known about, we have to have some sort of commerciality. In order to have some commerciality, mm-hmm. we have to think about money. In one of the newer, more nuanced articles about that topic, about the Marvel movies, someone said, they quoted an old quote that said, if you're talking about money, you're not talking about art. I'm paraphrasing. I like that.
Interesting.
And it's what you, yeah. it's kind of what you just said, is that if you're thinking too much about how people are going to accept what you do, you're not being as artistic. And artistic is who you are.
Yeah. I don't think you can completely put that out of your mind.
Right.
That's the challenge.
Exactly.
You know, because as a person making albums, it's what you said. You obviously are making something that you want people to hear. And it reminded me of something I heard William Friedkin say, the film director that I really like. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, we don't make these films to hang in the Louvre. We make them to be watched by an audience. So that has to be in your mind. But at the same time, you know, interestingly, the times when I've completely ignored that, just whether I think something's accessible and just trying to write, you know, something that you mean, that's when you end up writing the most accessible stuff. And I think of so many people I admire, quotes of theirs come to my mind when you were just talking. One was Francis Ford Coppola talking about just how the main struggle of the artist is self-confidence. And in the same article, he said, I'm going to be shot for saying this, but who says artists have to make money?
Wonderful.
You know, I mean, a lot of artists that we know never really made money, or they were sort of paid under the, you know, rule of a king or something, or the church, or, you know, all kinds of things. So, you know, at some point you just have to say, well, what do I think of this? You know, do I love this? Do I mean this? And you have to put it out of your mind, because we all have artists that we love, and musicians and songwriters, and I'm speaking specifically now of musical artists. We all have artists that we love who've written stuff we don't like.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to like you. That's something my dad told me. I was getting bullied by this kid on the bus one time when I was probably 7 years old, and I just remember going to my dad. I was like, I don't know what this kid's problem is. Like, I haven't done anything to him. And he just said, Greg, everyone is not going to like you. And I've sort of just taken that to heart as a musician too. Like, everyone's not going to like it. That's okay. You know,
I'll go a step further. If you're trying to get everybody to like you, you're not going to have a brand.
Right.
You have to have a brand. And that brand is a brand that only some people like.
Right.